while fleeing Apaches. A gentleman from Virginia found a strangely shimmering cave. When he entered it, he discovered his body had somehow split in two. One body lay dead on the cave floor, while the other was mystically transported through time and space to the planet Mars. Jim Shooter presents Edgar Rice Burroughs, John Carter, Warlord of Mars in Night of the Long Knives.
I am Deja Thoris, Princess of Helium, daughter of Mors Kajik, granddaughter of Tardis Mors, the King of Helium, and wife of John Carter. I have faced death many times before, but never have I been this close to it than this night in the catacombs beneath the king's palace. It is when Kantos Kan and I found ourselves trapped by the assassin Cerberus and his squad of ruthless killers.
You should be honored, Kantos Kan, for you and Deja Thoris will be the first to fall beneath our swords. On this night, the Guild of Assassins conquers Helium!
Cerberus, he is a fool. He should have slain us at once, but he preferred to gloat. His arrogance will cost him dearly. For while he boasts, I sneak my hand around Conscious Can's back until I reach for his radium pistol. And then in a blink of an eye, I strike.
By the Lord!
I move even as I shoot, kicking Kantos Kan to one side, out of the assassin's line of fire, while I dive to the other side. Once again, I thank the Lord for the countless hours my husband spent teaching me his warrior's ways. My hand is steady as I return their fire. Each time I pull the trigger, an assassin falls dead. At the same time, Kantos Kan does his part.
Where are your boasts now, Cerberus?
Kantos Kan throws a small dagger into the chest of one of the assassins. He kills him.
Ah! You thought us helpless a moment ago, yet your fellow assassins lie dead all around, while Deja and I, we still live. You're very good at torturing helpless little women and letting your assassins do your killing for you. But I say, How well will you fare against a warrior in a fair fight? Sword to sword! Luck has saved you so far, Countess Khan. It will do so no longer. I am an assassin trained by the finest swordsman on Barshoom. Is that so?
Cerberus and Countess Khan have a sword fight.
I think you should have paid more attention to your lessons.
Countess Khan stabs Cerberus straight in the middle of his chest, killing him. Cerberus falls to the ground and dies. Countess Khan turns around to check on Deja Thoris.
Deja Thoris, are you?
Yes, I'm okay. We have to arouse the palace guards quickly. The assassins may be already in the palace.
Deja Thoris thinks to herself,
I lied to Countess Khan. I'm weak from hunger, from thirst, and from the strain of fighting off assassins during my imprisonment in the catacombs. Boop! That happened in issues John Carter number 24 and number 25. But now, more than ever, I must not falter. Still, if the assassins are able to attack Helium, then John Carter and Tars Tarkas must have failed to destroy their huge base flyer. If they failed, they are most possibly dead. I want to scream. I want to weep. Yet I freeze my face in a stoic form. And I keep silent. There is a time and place for such grief. Such grief. This is not it.
Deja Thoris and Countess Khan walks into a chamber room with warriors, with the palace guards in them. They are all knocked out. They are all unconscious.
Warriors, to your arms! Your king needs you! I was afraid of this. I was afraid of this. All the warriors have been drugged. They're knocked out.
Wait.
That sound. Countess, look. Quietly. Almost stealthily, the Golden Cruiser-class flyer settles down towards the courtyard in front of us. The golden craft bears the insignia of Helium, but it is an imposter, loaded to the guns with assassins. Countess Khan and I have little time. As soon as that Golden Cruiser lands, the troops it's carrying will be swarming all over the palace. to our weapons, my friend. Quickly! Quickly! Quickly!
We'll return with John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 26, after these messages. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM.
All right, let's find our ads here. All right, all right. Let me quiz you on what this may be for our first ad. This is a t-shirt offer. Advertising, promoting, a television franchise, a television series. If you knew of this television series, would you wear the t-shirt? What am I talking about?
Battlestar Galactica, full colored t-shirts! These incredible, full, beautiful, these incredibly beautiful shirts are fantastically low priced, only $4.99 each. Be the first on Earth to wear these Battlestar Galactica t-shirts. You'll be the envy of everyone. These shirts come in a variety of adult sizes, small, medium, large, extra large, and children sizes, small, medium, large. Choose from white, red, light blue, maize, tan, and navy. All shirts are the highest of quality and are guaranteed not to shrink or fade. For prompt delivery, order now to Mail Away Incorporated, Department M, P.O. Box 1779, 151 East 58th Street, New York, New York, zip code 10022. Battlestar Galactica full-color t-shirts, only $4.99 each, plus $1 postage and handling to Mail Away Incorporated, Department M, P.O. Box 1779, 151 East 58th Street, New York, New York, zip code 10022, Battlestar Galactica full-color t-shirts, $4.99 each.
All right, on... Right on. Yes, would I, yeah, you know what? I'd get a Battlestar Galactica t-shirt, sure. I like the design. Something with a Cylon warrior would be more for me. And you know what? I'm interested to know what color is maize. That's, they have that here. Light blue or maize? Yeah, I don't know. I'd get a t-shirt. I don't know. I'd get two t-shirts and give one to you. I'm that nice of a guy. Ha ha ha. Okay. All right. How about this? Let's do our next ad. What is it? It's something that you can fly. Something you can fly, but only if you eat a certain type of candy. There's a catch. All right. What is this?
Giant sailplane. Huge 4.5 foot wingspan. $5.95 value, only $3.99 at one Whopper's wrapper. Sail it. Loop it. Tow it along on a string. A whopping big deal from Whoppers. The crunchy malted milk candy with rich coca coating. Buy Whoppers and fly a Whopper of a sailplane. Giant sailplane, huge 4.5 foot wingspan. $5.95 value, only $3.99 at one Whopper's wrapper. Send to Whopper's Sailplane Offer, 1101 Oak Street, Winnetka, Illinois, zip code 60093.
Illinois residents add 20 cents sales tax. Allow 4 weeks for delivery.
You can always tell a Whopper when you hear one crunch.
Thank you. You know what I hear? I hear these candies called Whoppers. They were put up by the Leaf brand. Leaf Foods. I hear they sucked. I hear they were hard to eat, and I just hear that they were awful. That's what I hear. Okay, this is for a newspaper. Yes, a newspaper. Not a newspaper like the Winnipeg Free Press or the Sun or anything like that. This is for a paper that you could sell if you wish to make money. First off, would you read the paper? And second, would you sell it? What am I talking about?
Adventures of Grit Boy.
You guys go on without me.
Chris thinks to himself,
I sure could use some extra cash.
Chris had a problem.
Chris goes home from the amusement park to see his father in the garage.
Do what I did, son. Sell Grit, America's only national full family newspaper. Grit has something for everybody. News, sports, recipes, patterns, fiction, hobbies, true human interest stories, comics, and a lot more.
Many famous Americans sold Grit. Senators, astronauts, entertainers, successful businessmen.
Grit practically sells itself to family, friends, neighbors. For every 35-cent paper you've sold, you keep 12 cents. You could earn $3, $5, even $12 a week, and in your own spare time.
Earn prizes too. 107 prizes to choose from. The more papers you sell, the better the prize.
Girls sell Grit too.
A few weeks later.
Who's up for a double burger? My treat!
When you build a Grit business, you build the habit of success. 1.5 million families buy Grit, and 30,000 boys and girls sell it. Send no money in advance. You pay only for the papers you sell. Send today to Grit Publishing Company, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, zip code 17701. This has been the adventures of Grit Boy!
Grit Boy! Alright. How about I sell you on me keeping reading you a story? Yes. How about that? And even if you don't want to buy it, you're going to get it anyway here on Commercial Free CKUW. All right. Excuse me. I had a little thing in my chest. We now return to John Carter, number 26. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, the University of Winnipeg.
I was afraid of this. All the warriors have been drugged, knocked out.
Wait,
that sound. Cantus. Cantus Can, look!
Look!
Quietly, almost stealthily, the Golden Cruiser class flyer settles down towards the courtyard in front of Cantus Can and Deja Thoris.
The craft bears the insignia of Helium, but it is an imposter. It's loaded to the gunwales with assassins. Cantus Can and I have little time. As soon as that cruiser lands, the assassins it's carrying will be swarming all over the palace. To our weapons, my friend, and quickly!
And quickly! And quickly!
Here they are, my princess, all I can carry. But what now? We can't fight that cruiser by ourselves.
We're not going to try to. Other traders like Cerberus will no doubt be guarding all the corridors leading to the royal apartment suites. So you and I will follow a secret way known only to the king and his royal family. As I run through the stingy darkness, strapping on our weapons as we go, I am desperately afraid for those I love. I do not think we will reach them in time.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. At that very moment, in the suite occupied by Mors Kajik, the Prince of Helium, and his wife, Tara, Deja, Thoris' parents,
there is an assassin looming over the two couple as they're sleeping in their bed. He has a dagger out, ready to stab them. But Mors Kajik, he awakes in time, and he has a knife of his own, and he stabs the assassin right in the chest.
If you wish to take Mors Kajik's life, you stalker, you'll have to do a far better job than this.
Mors, what?
Hush, hush, my princess. I want to get a good look at our quote-unquote guest. Yes, it's as I feared. He wears the harness of an assassin.
Is he?
Yes, my dear. He's quite dead, Tara. Quite dead. Wait! Do you hear that? Do you hear that? There's a flyer, and a large one. It's landing nearby. Stay here, Tara. I want to see what's afoot.
Mors Kajik pulls the now dead assassin off the bed, clumps him on the floor, and goes over to the window of his palace suite to look out. He now thinks to himself as he's looking out the window.
Assassins!
Assassins!
Assassins! There are easily a couple of hundred warriors out there. They're mounting a full-scale attack. There's no sign of the palace guards. The assassins must have already put them out of action. We're on our own. Tara, get dressed. We haven't a moment to lose. Listen to me carefully. The Guild of Assassins have infiltrated the palace. I think they mean to overthrow my father. If they're to be successful, they must slay every member of the royal family. Men, women, children, even the unhatched in their eggs, without mercy, without exception. I'm going to the nursery, and I'll defend the children as long as I can. You take my radium pistol. You go upstairs and warn Tardis Mors, our king.
Have courage, my princess. I know you're not a warrior. If I could spare you this, I would.
I will not fail you, my love. May the Lord protect you.
And you too, Tara.
The royal couple kiss each other goodbye. As the two lovers depart their separate ways, Tara is conscious of the cold weight of the radium pistol in her hand, acutely aware that she has never fired a shot in anger, much less ever taken another one's life.
You are listening to a reading of John Carter, number 26, The Warlord of Mars. Excuse me, let's do that over again. You are listening to a reading of John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 26, August, the year 1979.
Danny Briggs' new album called Shut Down in Flames. Hey kids, Rockin' Ronnie here at CKW 95.9 FM, reminding you to tune in to Blues Day on Tuesday, heard every Tuesday, 7 till 10 p.m. on your station, CKW 95.9 FM.
Well, I roll and I tumble, I cry the whole night long.
Listening to a reading of John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 26, August 1979. We now return to Comic Book Radio Theater. This is CKUW.
Listen carefully. The Guild of Assassins have infiltrated the palace. If they're to be successful, they must slay every member of the royal family without mercy and without exception. I'm going to the nursery, and I'll defend the children as long as I can. You take my radium pistol. Go upstairs and warn our King Tardis Mors. Have courage, my princess. I know you're not a warrior. And if I could spare you this, I would.
I will not fail you, my love. May the Lord protect you.
And to you, too, Tara.
The royal couple kiss.
As they depart their separate ways, Tara is conscious of the cold weight of the radium pistol in her hand. She is also acutely aware that she has never fired a shot in anger, much less ever taken another one's life.
Her bare feet make no sound as Tara slips up the ramp leading to the king's spacious apartments. She thinks to herself,
oh no, assassins!
Oh no, assassins! Oh no, assassins!
The assassins speak in whispers.
Take no chances with Tardis Mors! As soon as these doors open, we blast everything in this room!
Tara thinks to herself,
they're going to slaughter Tardis Mors and Queen Thara right in their sleep. I cannot let that happen.
Hand shaking slightly, Tara takes aim and pulls the trigger. Her first series of shots misses.
Tardis Mors to arms!
By the Lord's bones! Where did that come from?
Tara's second series of shots don't miss.
There! There! It's a wench with a handgun! We'll open fire! Got him!
Tara doesn't have time for a third series of shots.
She doesn't have anywhere to go. She's nowhere to hide on that ramp. I'll keep her ducking with shots. You finish her off. Well, what are you waiting for, you fool? Kill the woman, eh?
A knife is now in the back of one of the assassins. He falls to the ground, dying. The assassin warrior turns around to see
Tardis Mors!
Tardis Mors!
Oi! Oi! Oi, you assassin! My Queen Thara! See that Tara! See to Tara! I'll deal with this ancestralist scum!
Oh, will you, old man?
Oi! Oi! Oi!
Tardis Mors, the king, slices the assassin down.
Ah!
as Queen Thara helps Tara up the ramp, Tara gasps out her story. Both the two women and TARDIS and King TARDIS are unaware of another assassin emerging from a side corridor just behind them. This assassin, completely not unseen by the royal family, raises up his gun and points it towards the royal family. He thinks to himself, perfect! The king, his wife, and his daughter-in-law. At this range, I cannot miss. Three quick shots, and helium will be ours. Deja Thoris and Cantus Can are running behind this assassin who's about to shoot his gun.
I see the assassin as he steps out of the shadows of the corridor. And I also see his targets. Cantus Can and I are too far away. There's no time to reach the man before he fires his pistol or draw my own pistol. I can only use the weapon that's at hand. Without breaking stride, I shift the grip on my sword. Father! Grandfather! All of you! Dive for the floor! I shift the grip of my sword, and I let it fly!
Deja throws her sword into the back of the assassin, knocking him out of commission.
Even though Cantus Can and I ran all the way and had the benefits of shortcuts, we barely managed to arrive ahead of the main body of assassins.
Inside, my granddaughter, inside! Our position here is unattainable! Especially with all these assassins literally popping out of the woodwork! This passageway will lead us to the nursery and Moore's Carjack!
But, Grandfather, if the assassins find this entrance,
they'll be on us before we've gone a dozen steps. You need a rear guard, my king. Me. Now go now. I'll defend this passageway with my life. Defend it with my life. My life.
We'll return to John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 26, after these messages.
This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM.
All right, people. Let's see. Let's see what ads we got here. Oh, this is a fun one. Whoa. Let's see. Hopefully I do it right now. This was from a failed toy franchise. They also had a comic book out that didn't do too good either. Let's see. You know what? Would you buy these action figures? Would this added gimmick put your money down for these action figures? What am I talking about?
Invading the Micronauts. Alien creatures with brains that glow in the dark.
Now stage your own space wars between the Micronauts and these horrifying alien invaders from unknown planets with giant brains that glow in the dark. Repto. He's half reptile, half human, with removable bat-like wings, plug-in laser saw, and blaster. Membros, a scaly-skinned android, comes with blaster and plug-in backpack, complete with extension pipe for deadly hydra laser. Antron. This six-limbed monster comes with plug-in tools and weapons for each of his four arms, hook, eyebolt neutralizer, and laser blaster. Invading the Micronauts, alien creatures with brains that glow in the dark. From the world of the Micronauts by Mego.
Okay, Mego. Any child of the 1970s knows about Mego. Yes, they do. I'm just going to do this one really quickly. This seems like something to trick a kid into buying something. Alright, here it goes. And especially if you're a huge fan of Superman. Huge fan of Superman. This is what it's good for. Alright, what am I talking about? Kryptonite rocks! Attention, friends of Superman! A short while ago, us, the good guys, spotted a very large piece of kryptonite rock about to smash into Earth. We immediately sent out a search party to find it and bring back the kryptonite rock before it fell into the wrong hands. We now have the kryptonite rock broken down into a million pieces and are making it available to all of Superman friends for safekeeping. Kryptonite rocks are blue, green, and color, are safe, non-toxic, and the most exciting of all, they glow in the dark! So keep Superman safe from being destroyed, and at the same time, own an amazing kryptonite rock that glows in the dark! Kryptonite rock can be yours for only $2.50 plus a shipping charge!
Kryptonite rocks! It's terrific! It's fantastic! It's Krypton-tastic! It glows in the dark! $2.50 each, $1 postage and handling. Send check or money order to Mail Away Incorporated, Department 3, 151 East 58th Street, New York, New York, zip code 10022. Kryptonite rocks, $2.50 each.
There you go. Would you pay that much for a rock? Okay. I would not be tricked. I'm saying that right now. Okay. Okay. I wouldn't believe it. Oh, let's see. Would you believe this is a pretty rocking movie? This is for a movie. I could see if you're really into sci-fi, you would absolutely love this movie. What movie am I talking about? All right, let's go.
A 23rd Century Odyssey, now. Star Trek, the motion picture. William Shatner as Captain Kirk. Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. DeForest Kelly as Dr. Bones McCoy. James Doohan as Scotty. George Takei as Sulu. Nichelle Nichols as O'Hara. Walter Koenig as Chekhov, Paris Chambada as Ilya, and Stephen Collins as Commander Willard Decker. Paramount Pictures presents a Robert Wise film, a Gene Roddenberry production. Star Trek, the motion picture, coming this Christmas to a theater near you. A 23rd Century Odyssey is now Star Trek. The motion picture.
Okay, yeah. I still haven't watched it all the way through. I still haven't. Anyway, whatever the case, we now return to John Carter, Warlord of Mars number 26. This is Comic Book Radio Theater on CKUW 95.9 FM, the University of Winnipeg.
Even though Cantus Can and I ran all the way and had the benefits of secret shortcuts, we barely managed to arrive ahead of the main body of assassins.
Ah, inside the suite, my granddaughter. Our position here is unattainable. Especially with all these assassins literally popping out of the woodwork. This passage will lead us to the nursery and Morris Project.
But Grandfather, the assassins find the entrance.
They'll be on us before we've gone a dozen steps. You need a rear guard, my king. Me. So go now. I'll defend this passageway with my life. Defend it with my life. My life.
No one says a word as Grandmother leads us down the secret corridor. We haven't gone far when we hear the muffled sounds of steel clashing behind us. Oh, Cantus Can, this night must I lose not only my husband, John Carter, but my dearest friend, too. Fighting is no less fierce in the nursery. My father, Morris Kajic. He isn't alone. Sola fights beside him, proving that a giant Thark female is every bit dangerous as the males of her kind. A few of the children are fighting as well. Some of them have died. They are killed. They've been killed. And amid all the carnage, my eyes spot cracked and shattered eggs. My unknown, unhatched brothers and sisters. Dead before they even have a chance to breathe. Something snaps in my brain then. Something as my body flashes hot and cold with rage. And I welcome this feeling.
For Helium!
For
Barsoom! For Liberty! For life! Attack! Attack!
As long as Barsoom lives, stories will be told of this, the Night of the Long Knives, and how we, six, two men, three women, and one She-Thark held their own against the Guild of Assassins. The closed quarters of the nursery works to our advantage. The assassins can only approach a few at a time. And those who do, they die. As time passes, I dimly become aware that it is getting harder and harder to swing my sword. I'm not seriously hurt, but I am tiring. All the others, they are in no better shape. We've done our best, but all of us sense that it won't be long before we're all overwhelmed. Before we're all overwhelmed.
You are listening to a reading of John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 26, August, the year
Secret agent man. Secret. grit.
Go out of your mind with me, Dave Ferguson, every Saturday on The Trip. The best in psychedelic rock, garage rock, and classic rock that the other guys just don't play. Dave Ferguson, 4 to 6 p.m. Saturdays on The Trip.
You have to check that, Ralph. You can't take that on The Trip with you.
are listening to a reading of John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 26, August, the year 1979. We now return to Comic Book Radio Theater. This is CKUW.
As long as Barsoom lives, stories will be told of this, the night of the long knives, and of how we six, two men, three women, and a she-thark held their own against the Guild of Assassins. The close quarters of the nursery work to our advantage. The assassins can only approach us a few at a time. And the few, and those who do, they die. But as time passes, I dimly become aware that it is getting harder and harder to swing my sword. I am not seriously hurt, but I am tiring. The others are in no better shape. We've done our best, but all of us sense that it won't be long till we're all overwhelmed. Out of the corner of my eye, I see my mother by the overlooking balcony. She's protecting the youngest of children. I've never been prouder of her than that night. Suddenly, a light flashes off the hull of a golden flyer, skimming the rooftops as it heads straight for the palace. Is it help? Or is it more assassins?
I'm off, Tars! A man jumps from the flying golden carrier.
Our lives are in your hands now, don't you fail us!
Have I ever failed you, little friend?
The man comes flying down. The assassin warriors take notice.
Croc! Look out! Above us! Now!
Who? Who?
John Carter!
Have no fear, my Lady Tara! The cavalry has arrived!
John Carter throws a lot of assassins around, knocking them out, killing them.
With my dear husband's fresh bloody blade added to our own, the assassins are quickly routed. I want to leap into his arms. I still can't believe he's alive. But not here, not now.
Good to see you, John Carter. Any ideas on our next move?
Only one, my king! Make a run for it!
make a run for it across that garden. That's insane. We'll be wide open for an attack. It's better to make a stand here until the fleet can relieve us. The fleet! It isn't coming! Its commander is a guild of assassin agent! He's led his ships on a wild goose chase! I know what I'm doing, King Tardis! This is our only hope! Please, trust me!
King Tardis, Mords, looks behind him. He sees a group of assassins rushing towards him.
Assassins! And they've regrouped for another attack! Queen Thara! Thara, take the children! You must go now! We'll cover you!
We'll cover you!
So few of us are left as we begin our mad dash across the garden. I haven't realized so many children have died. Behind us, the assassins, sensing victory, final victory. The assassins, they swarm out of the nursery, bloody blades held high, proud of themselves.
Proud of themselves. Proud of themselves.
We haven't a prayer of reaching the shelter before they catch up to us. Yet John Carter, he seems unconcerned, and then without warning.
An assassin guard questions out loudly.
What's that? It's a war trumpet.
But whose?
But whose? Gods of Mars! Another ground shaking! Holy Lord, preserve us! The ground! And look!
Look!
Look! Look at the gate!
It is a sight to freeze a red Barsoomian's soul. Tars Tarkas leading the Thark assembly to Helium in one of their famed, terrifying cavalry charges. Twenty-five and a half feet tall, four-armed, fanged horrors mounted on war horses, brandishing their great broadswords and their battle axes, and 9-foot-long spears as they gallop down the avenue of ancestors to our rescue. With tremendous crash, the Tharks and assassins come together. Most of the assassins stand their ground and die where they stand. Our swords turn this once idyllic garden into a carnal pit. The battle is mercifully short. And when it is done, the power of the Guild of Assassins in our helium has been shattered. Save for the children, the murdered children. The cost to us is light, but the children make the price of our victory almost more than we can bear. Some of the assassins flee into the palace when the Tharks attacked. My father leads a squad of warriors to hunt them down. Meanwhile, John Carter and Tars Tarkas rush into the king's suite. They rush into the king's suite and find valiant Contus Can.
He gave a good account of himself before the assassins cut him down. Wait! Good Lord!
Good Lord! Good Lord!
Tars! Tars! He's still breathing! Kantos! He's still breathing! He's alive! But just barely!
Warrior! Fetch Sola and her healing potions!
Rest easy there, my young friend. Rest easy, my young friend. Rest easy.
Oh, by dawn, our work is done. I have often heard my father's warriors speak of the glory of battle. But at this moment, I don't feel particularly glorious.
Deja Thoris goes over to John Carter and hugs him.
No words, my love. Just hold me close. Just hold me close. We are all exhausted, both physically and mentally, and totally unprepared for what happens next.
Hear me, John Carter!
What? Morden!
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 Morden! You have merely won a battle, not the war! So long as a single assassin lives, he can kill! And so long as he can kill, final victory will be ours!
Ours!
Morden shoots his pistol.
Explosions tear across the courtyard as the master assassin, Morden, empties his radium pistol into the crowd. And when the barrage finally ends and the smoke clears, one of us, does not rise.
Tara!
Mother!
Mother!
Princess Tara lies on the ground, bleeding. She is dead. John Carter chases after Morden. He runs off.
Morden! Are you Master Butcher?
You run!
But though you flee to the ends of Barsoom, or to the furthest reaches of the universe, you cannot escape my wrath!
Morden takes off in a golden flyer. John Carter jumps up and grabs onto the side of the flyer.
You cannot escape my wrath!
Not escape your wrath? Why can't I, John Carter?
Morden uses the butt end of his radium pistol and conks John Carter on the head with it.
Can't I escape you, John Carter? We'll see about that.
Oh!
John Carter falls down to the ground from the golden flyer that's in flight. Morden gets away.
Next issue, the epic conclusion of the Master Assassin of Mars.
Have just listened to a reading of John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 26, August, the year
gone, you can't ever come
story of the Johnny Robin. It's better to burn out than it is to rust. The king is gone, but he's not forgotten. More to the picture than meets the eye. Hey, hey, my, my.
Percent of our annual budget comes from listeners like you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting CKUW 95.9 FM at Fun Drive.
J.J. Cale right there. I should do a 2 a.m. music spotlight on JJKL just for the sake of, you know, having good music going on. All right, I am not going to review this comic book for you because it's an awful lot of words. I'm tired. Anyway, thank you for listening to this week's Comic Book Radio Theater. And guess what? You get another one 4 days from now. 4 days from now, I'm going to give you another one because I'm shifting over to Thursday night. If you haven't heard me throughout the broadcast tonight, I'm shifting to Thursday night and I'm going to start it up. This week, I'm going to start it up. Anyway, thank you for all those who have joined me for Sunday nights here, late Sunday nights for our comic book reads. Thank you very much. All right, what are we going to look at? How about this? Here are some of our ads. The Battlestar Galactica full-color t-shirts. I know, worth the price. This sail plane from Whopper's Candy, I say no. Not for me. Grit. To sell grit to make $3, $5, maybe even $12 a week. Nope. I got a job working in a thrift store. I think I'll take that instead. You know what? We got this one ad. Alien creatures with brains that glow in the dark. You know what? Why don't they play the television commercial? Yes, the television commercial that was on TV at the same time this comic book was out on the newsstands. Here's how it sounded. Oh, this is priceless.
They glow in the dark.
Lights on.
Alien creatures with brains that glow in the dark, each sold separately. Repto, half reptile. Antron with four arms. Membros, the brain. New alien creatures include Centaurus, the warhorse. Kronos, the winged warrior. Lopros from the undersea planet. Turn out the lights. They glow in the dark. Centaurus, Kronos, Lopros, and all other alien creatures are sold separately by Mego.
Would that scare you? Would that get your friends playing? I don't know. Other ads in here. Oh, we had the Kryptonite rocks. Yes. And the last one. Oh, we had the one for the Star Trek motion picture. You know what? I think this would be really neat to listen to. Let's listen to what the Star Trek motion picture, what the theater trailer sounded like way back in 1979. I don't know. I think this could be cool. If I could get it, I got it queued. This is how it sounded like in the theaters. If you're unfortunately checking out some other movie and everything, this is what would, impress on to you. Hopefully you are impressed with this. All right, where is it? I think it's gonna sound cool. Waiting for it. Starts right now. Yeah.
Travel forward with us, 300 years into the future, to confront the greatest mystery ever to threaten mankind. We are aboard a huge starship called the Enterprise. This is the return of Captain Kirk.
An alien object of unbelievable destructive power is less than 3 days away from this planet.
Mr. Spock.
I offer my services as science officer.
Dr. McCoy. Scotty. And joining them on their mission, Commander Will Decker and Navigator Ilea.
I'm sorry.
That you left Delta 4? Or that you didn't even say goodbye?
Give us back an impulse power. Full reverse.
Wormhole distortion has overloaded the main power systems. The late phaser order. Fire! Copy it!
This, then, is the epic journey of the Starship Enterprise, traveling to the outer limits of time and space to challenge a vast, living machine destruction. The human adventure is just beginning. Star Trek, the motion picture.
Well, did that sound cool or not? I hope that did, especially if you're a Trekkie fan out there.
A Gene Roddenberry production.
Yes, we know.
A Robert Wise film.
Okay, all right. All right. Let's see. You know what? I am kicking myself because this Star Trek movie, the first one, it was on TV like a couple of weeks ago. I was home. I had nothing to do. Nowhere to go. And it was on one of those TV channels, like, you know, those free movie channels that don't have television commercials. Yeah, it was on one of those kind of channels. I could have sat down for two hours or so and watched it and finally claimed that I've watched it all the way through. All right, let me go with the music that we used here tonight for our comic book reading. All right, and once again, I read you John Carter, Warlord of Mars, number 26, published in August of 1979, and brand new on the record stands back in 1979, back in the summer of 1979. We had AC/DC with what was that album called? High Voltage, I believe it was called. I have them singing Shot Down in Flames live in Amsterdam in November of 1979. Now, that's the original singer of AC/DC, Bon Scott. I believe he died in December of 1979. So that might be less than 2 months, maybe even less than a month before he even died, that recording was done. With that live concert of AC/DC, we also had Rainbow off their Down to Earth album, their song Danger Zone. In our second music break, we had Devo with their song Secret Agent. Man, I took that off, like, you know, the rock video they used for it. As well, coming along with it is The Kinks with their song I Wish I Could Fly Like Superman. I believe that's off the Low Budget album, and I think we have it here at the station. We have that album here at the station. And in our last music break, we had Neil Young with his song, My My, Hey Hey, Out of the Blue, off the Rust Never Sleeps album. And of course, J.J. Cale, his song, Sensitive Kind. I believe that album's called Five. Yes, his fifth album. He has many more great albums. I really should do a 2 a.m. music spotlight with him involved. All right, here's something else that was put out in 1979, August of 1979. Mike Oldfield put out a live record called Exposed, and here's, you know, the end part of that album. Let's go to, I believe, where is he? They are in September. It's September of 1979. They are in Switzerland somewhere. Here's, Tubular Bells Part 2, Mike Oldfield. Early morning cassette side coming on up. You are listening to commercial free CKUW 95.9 FM, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.